to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Download the Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads to get the latest news, videos, and photos straight from the team to your device. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Dog Bowl, and Berea. Cross the name Bill Callahan off of the Browns offensive coordinator list. Cross the name Scott Linehan off of the Browns offensive coordinator list. Linehan will be the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys. Bill Callahan joining head coach Jay Gruden and the Washington Redskins as the team's offensive line coach.
I like the hire.
They're good hires.
Good for them.
Jay
Gruden,
big fan of Bill Callahan.
Yes.
He knows the run game. Good for Alfred Morris, for those of you in fantasy football, to have him there in Washington as well. We're talking defensive line here for the Cleveland Browns. 216-578-0850 if you want to join us. Again, defensive line, that's where Mel Kiper had the Browns going at number 12 overall with Danny Shelton out of the University of Washington, saying in Mike Penn's system, you can use powerful bodies up front who can hold blocks but also create some movement and occasionally penetrate. Then the massive Shelton is a nice fit for a team that consistently struggled to stop the run. So he likes him, has him going 12th overall to the Cleveland Browns. Let's look at this defensive line group here, Matt, and talk about them. When you look at this group, we'll go through and we'll hand out some grades right now. Start with Desmond Bryant. 15 games, led the D-line, 49 tackles, 5 sacks, a pass deflection, a fumble recovery.
You know what I like about him is he had an underwhelming start to this football season, but I think he came on in that middle road when they really started vibing together, and as Jim Leonard said, that scheme really came into effect. We saw him active. We saw him penetrating. Again, 49 tackles is great for a defensive lineman. And you figure for him, he's probably a 60% rep guy. So I think for Desmond, he's a great guy. And also, too, he's a value. You know, he's a value guy that you brought here. He's not hitting you over the head. But you got great production out of him.
You did get great production out of Des Bryant. I thought particularly in the second half of the season, he came on very, very strong. He led the defensive line, defensive lineman with 749 snaps. He was the snap leader there and also the stat leader. But I thought he really kind of came on from week 10 on, from that Cincinnati game. He was very, very good down the stretch for the Browns. That's pretty much when all of his sacks but one came from that point forward. And I thought he really turned up his level of play from that Cincinnati game on. Then you go and you got a guy, Billy Wynn, second in terms of snaps among the D-line, 511, played 13 games, was involved in a lot of things. He had some big plays. He had a blocked kick. He also had the interception, some fumble recoveries. I thought really gave it his all, was moved around, played a lot of different positions for the Browns this year. I'm going to give Desmond Bryant, I said, a B+. I'll give Billy Wynn a solid B. I think he's a very, very solid contributor to this team and easily could be a starter.
I do, too. I think he made some flashy plays, you know, here and there, but otherwise you might not hear his name, and in most cases it's because he's just doing his job. You know, you can't say Billy was getting pushed around. You can't say that Billy was playing lazy. He's a high effort guy, which is really hard to find at 300 plus pounds. And I think the greatest thing about him coming down, sitting us with the studio, he loves being here.
He's my favorite Buck Wild.
He loves playing for the Browns. He loves being here in Cleveland. He loves the dog pound, and he's growing in love with his system and his teammates. And you have to love that out of him. And again, so same as you, I'll give him a B as well.
All right, then we go to Atsaba Rubin, 28 tackles, paid $8 million, one of the top 5 paid players on the team. I thought he really struggled this year. I don't think he'll be back. Apparently he battled a lot of injuries, so I don't want to take that away from him. And I will give him, I'd give him.
Be real.
Probably give Atsaba Rubin this year a D+.
Okay, I was going to go D. And,
okay.
And a lot of the reason why is because there's not one game, there's not one series, in my mind, having watched every single football game, that you see a flash out of Atsaba Rubin that goes, wow, I got to have him on my football team. That's not what you want. Everything that we just talked about with Andrew Gribble about the nose tackle in a 3-4 defense and what Danny Shelton could potentially bring here or Ndamukong Suh could bring here and everything you need, Atsaba Rubin was not that for this defense, and I think it's the catalyst for why teams were able to run the football because we were so soft as opposed to, when I talk about the defensive line, when we talk about John Hughes or Phil Taylor in that Cincinnati football game, it's lively. It's penetrating. It's moving around. And it's just disrupting. And that's what you want out of a defensive line, to keep that offensive line guessing and allow your linebackers in the secondary to scrape and move freely and clean things up behind you.
And he was graded 74th out of 81 defensive tackles by Pro Football Focus this year. So obviously a tough year for Ataba Rubin. As we keep going through this D-line, let's take a look right now at Ismaili Kitchen, the backup nose tackle, 43 tackles, actually second on the D-line. Solid player. I'll give him a C+. I think he's a solid player, but he's not somebody you want to count on to start, but a good reserve nose tackle.
No, absolutely. Great reserve nose tackle. He's the big body that I talked about that you can't teach, being 6 foot, 360 pounds. I thought he played for being 360 pounds. I thought he played with great effort. He not only made tackles at the line of scrimmage, but some behind, and some after a 3-4-5 yard gain, which means he's chasing the football and trying to make an impact in his limited reps. And although it's not ideal to have to lean on your backup as much as we did under these circumstances, we did, and I thought he was adequate. For that reason, I give him a B.
Give him a solid B. All right, John Hughes, I thought was the best defensive lineman this season. Unfortunately, only got to see him in 5 games, but I'm going to give John Hughes an A-. It's kind of an incomplete because he wasn't healthy, but I'm going to give him an A-.
Sure, yeah, and we love John Hughes. I think that John Hughes plays with everything that I just talked about, plays with energy, wants to make an impact. He is a young player on this football team that wants to stay in Cleveland and also, too, has a contract year coming up and wants to get that done to be a part of this culture change and be a part of this defense. And when healthy, played his best football, and I'll give him a B+ as well.
Then we go and we look at Phil Taylor, who I thought sluggish at first but then had that great game against Cincinnati. Unfortunately, it was his last game. I'll give him a B. He should be back next year.
I'll give him a B as well. Phil Taylor, and maybe it's the change in scheme that kind of slowed him down and had him maybe thinking a little bit too much early in the season. But when he came out and wanted to prove a point, and I believe, if I recall, it was on maybe 17 or 19 reps in Cincinnati, he made plays and was disruptive.
Yep.
Every single play he was in, you would have thought that he played the entire football game. He was just everywhere. But I want to see Phil Taylor get back to the intimidating Phil Taylor like we saw in years past, penetrating, quarterback sacks, tackles for a loss, and him, beating his chest and being wild and crazy on the football field, which we didn't see a whole lot of this year.
No, but I will say one more point about John Hughes. This is, again, Pro Football Focus grades. Every defensive lineman on the Browns was graded negatively except Hughes, who was graded at a positive 5.2. They really liked the work that he did in limited action there for the Browns. The other guys, Armani Bryant, again, didn't see enough of him. Limited reps this year. I liked him so much.
Great in the preseason.
Great in the preseason. Great in camp. He was a monster. Got the nickname RJ. He was just an absolute beast. And then you look at, you got Sione Fua, I thought was a good role player here. Jamie Meter, Jacoby McDaniel as well. But really, this D-line is an area that the Browns certainly do need to upgrade, I think, headed in to 2015, whether it be through the draft, free agency, or both.
Oh, they definitely do. And I think a lot of the reason is because if you secure the defensive line both in depth and in production, you can cross off your defense and then focus solely on offense and what you need to do. Focus on the quarterback, focus on a fullback, start talking Jordan Cameron coming back, and if not, what are we going to do there? Adding talent at wide receiver, adding talent at and depth at, as you said, backing up the tackles at offensive line. Taking care of the defensive line would allow us to shore that up and move in full over to the offense.
Absolutely. That's what the challenge of the Browns will be. One man who knows a little bit about offensive lines and then, of course, playing against defensive lines is Cleveland Browns radio analyst from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon. And he joins us on the hotline when we return right after this.